Hi, everybody. So I'm a physicist, and I will be talking about the physics eventually. So what fundamental questions we are asking ourselves? And the main questions we are asking about ourselves is what actually world made of, what holds together, and actually how it started, right? Where did it come from? Well, here we see kind of hint about Big Bang, but how actually do we explore the matter and structure? So I will be talking about the Large Hadron Collider and cosmology together, because actually the model which we're exploring with the Large Hadron Collider explains very small scales and very huge scales. So, well, if we look around, just around ourselves, well, the world looks quite complicated. So, well, there is a, well, Earth, there is a stars, there is a solar system, there is a galaxies. Well, the question is, how many elementary building blocks everything built of? Looks like too many. Well, actually, is it true? Can you give me an idea, well, how many? Like, say, who thinks it's 100? Who thinks it's 10? Who thinks it's 3? Well, if we look around ourselves, we'll see how many. So the slides are following, they're coming. So, but let's start from like past. So for 1,000 years, we've been asking ourselves, how many and what are elementary building blocks of nature? And about, well, already more than 2,000 years ago, well, 2.5, well, Greek philosopher, one of them, Empedocles, well, thought about the just four components, like fire, air, water, earth. The other one, Democritus, he just mentioned that very kind of intuitive and maybe very correct statement that by convention sweet and by convention bitter, by convention hot and by convention cold, by convention color, but in reality atoms and void, or atoms and space. Just amazingly, intuitively correct things. But in order to understand how far this guess was from reality, we need to actually come to experiments, and we need to explore nature. Because theory without experiment remains philosophy, or maybe, well, philosophy I put in quotes, but this is more like intuitive guess rather than true. So we need to explore how this guess is actually correct. So, and as an example, here's the periodic table of elements, well, suggested by Mendeleev already 200, almost, well, a little bit less than 200 years ago. And what he found that atoms are in the, can be characterized in the groups, and these groups periodically repeated themselves by chemical properties. So if you look at horizontal lines, so the property is changing up to the next row, but in the next row, the property is periodically repeated. So just take two elements in the column. So nickel and platinum, they're very similar in the chemical properties because they stand in the vertical column of this table. And carbon and silicon, again, they have a very similar chemical properties. What it tells us that actually atoms, must be made of simpler blocks in order, well, support its periodicity. So the guess of Democritus was actually amazingly correct, driven by simplicity and symmetry principles. But the atoms actually turns out to be non-elementary, because actually the periodic table, which tells about atoms and periodicity, tells that actually they're not elementary. So how do we explore the structure of matter? Well, we take a microscope and we see some bacteria here. So it's about hundreds of millimeter. What we use the light, because the light coming from sun has a wavelength, and using this wavelength, we actually see a reflection from the object. But if the object is too small, we need to use other microscope, we need to change something. And with the electronic microscope, we can test virus with this, two orders of magnitude smaller size. And with the X-ray microscope, we can actually see atoms already. But what has changed? What must be changed in order to change, in order to we see smaller scale? And let me try. Yeah. So what we need to change? What we need to change is the energy of the light. And this is the key point. So to resolve smaller distance, we need to raise the energy. Well, this formula, should not be very scary for you, I hope, because there are just not many symbols. So first of all, it's energy. It's here. So my pointer stopped working, but I will use actually keys. So you can see there. So this energy and the wavelength of the light, they are inversely proportional to each other. And this is the constant, H and C, there is just constants. The whole point is that energy related to inverse length. And indeed, if the wavelength of the light is small enough, then the light will be able to reflect from the object. And we have a reflection, and this means that if we have reflection, we see the object. If the wavelength is too large, the light will just bend about around the object, there will be no reflection, and we don't see the object. So the key point is that the smaller wavelength, the high energy, and vice versa. The high energy, the smaller wavelength, and with the small wavelength, we can see and test smaller scales. That's the whole point of the particle physics. That's why particle physics very often is called high energy physics. In high energy physics and particle physics, they're actually synonymous because of this. So what we see that energy is inversely proportional to the length. And this formula has been invented by Planck. And in particle physics, we use units, H is equal 1, C is equal 1. It's a very lazy formula, and actually we are lazy because we like to have some simple formula. And in particle physics, in natural units, energy is 1 over length. Now, so bottom line, we need energy to resolve smaller distances. And this has been done in probing atomic nucleus by Rutherford. He used energy is equal to 2.8 mega electron volt. What is the electron volt? If you, in the power plug, we have 240 volts. So if electron goes through this voltage, it gets the energy 240 electron volt. Here, the alpha particle has, roughly speaking, 10,000 times more energy and 10,000 more voltage. That's kind of idea about the scale. So if you have this voltage, you can accelerate particle and actually resolve the nucleus with the size of the 10 to the minus 13 meters. That's the scale you can resolve with that high energy. So this scale corresponds to 1,000th of the atomic size. But we can go further, and actually now we have quite amazing picture. So this is the picture of the 100 years history of exploration of the structure and elementary, search for elementary particle and smaller scale. So the atom has been, explored 100 years ago. Rutherford explored and found nucleus 70 years ago. And 50 years ago, we already knew that nucleus consists of, nucleus consists of, proton and neutron. And neutron, 50 years ago, was discovered to consist of quarks. which are elementary building blocks, so far as we know, while entering the neutron and proton. And proton and neutron, they consist of three quarks, but they are different because it's up and down quark. And now, with the, after 50 years, which were when we tested 10 to the minus 15 meters length, well, now we're testing a scale five orders of magnitude smaller, because now we have Large Hadron Collider with the energy five orders of magnitude higher. And now, well, we can count how many actually elementary building blocks, everything we see is built. Everything we see here around is built of electron, up quark and down quark, which build neutron and proton. So only three. Quite amazing. Extremely simple. Now, the proton consists of UUD and neutron consists of UDD because they have different charge, and up and down quark, they have different charge. Up quark has plus two-thirds, down quark has minus one-third. So if you add up, you get at this scale. So we reached extremely high energy, and let's talk about Large Hadron Collider, which provides, well, give us possibility to test 10 to the minus 20 meters scale. So at the moment, Large Hadron Collider actually running, 13 TeV energy, so 13 teraelectric volts, or 14 is the design, this is the ultimate design energy, which will be soon, but actually, well, at the moment, it's 13. Well, just to be fair. It's not a big difference, though. And you're talking about the 10 to the 12 electron volts. Moreover, if you make a proton runs with such high energy, the proton running almost with speed of light. The difference between velocity of the proton and speed of light is 20 miles an hour. The difference, well, is 20 miles an hour, that's about the, well, football ball you can kick, even you can kick probably even faster. And there are 600 million collisions per second happening because you collide not only one proton, but several of them. And, well, this is the ring of the collider, and I'm not going to spend much time talking about the actually, well, kind of engineering details of the collider. I will talk about physics. You needed a huge detector, and, well, what's happening? So the proton collides with other proton at extremely high energy, and you produce something. What do you produce out of this collision? You produce, well, this kind of burst of new particles. It's not a remnant of the proton. It's actually new particles which have been produced from that amount of energy. So this way you can produce many things. And what, in like summarizing what we can have from such high energy, again, repeating, from Planck formula gives us the connection between energy and length, we can test very small scales. The Einstein tells us that the energy and mass are connected directly. So from this energy, we can produce new particles and very heavy particles. That's how Higgs boson has been discovered, because Higgs boson is 125 times heavier than the proton. The only way to produce it, you need to have enough energy to convert this energy to its mass. Moreover, the energy and the temperature are directly connected, and this Boltzmann tells us, this is Boltzmann formula, that energy is equal kT, which means that if you calculate the temperature corresponding to this energy, then we're talking about the, in comparison to 12 million kelvins in the core of the sun, we're talking about the temperature which 10 million times higher than the temperature in the core of the sun. And this temperature corresponds to the, 10 to the minus 13 temperature after the Big Bang. We can calculate, actually, this temperature. We cannot calculate what happens at zero time, but we can evolve and apply a formula and find the temperature 10 to minus 13. And this is the scale. So actually, Well, not only standard model has been established and confirmed at Large Hadron Collider, and this is Higgs boson, and this is UED quarks. All other quarks here, their behavior, they can be produced, but they quickly decay. So what we see, atoms consisting of neutrons, protons, and electrons, they consist of mainly UND quarks and electrons. And this is the scale we covered. And this scale, which covers by Large Hadron Collider, but there is a bigger scale, which actually covered by theory, which confirmed by Large Hadron Collider. So Large Hadron Collider confirmed theory, which describes huge scale from the Planck, which is 10 to the 19 gigaelectron volts. This is the huge energy, the highest energy, because above this energy, the gravity becomes strong and we don't know what happens. Up to our time, 2.7 Kelvin, this is the temperature which is created by the photons. What we also know that we reproduce we know how to explore from very small scale to very large scale. And this, transition has been confirmed by WMAP collaboration, which look at the cosmic microwave background and slice the light which coming to us through the time. And what we can see, the light coming to us, we can slice it in making kind of time machine from the light. We cannot look to the future, of course, but we can look at the past. So making slices here, so it start working. So making slice, this is time slices, starting from the time when universe become just transparent from plasma to our days. And this is almost 14 billion years story, and we actually confirm this story. We can see the how galaxies has been created. We see how first stars appeared, etc. So it's quite amazing story can be explained by standard model, which confirmed by a Large Hadron Collider. But it's not the end of the story, because something, not exactly can be explained by standard model. Well, first of all, as probably some of you have been, or maybe many of you have been at the Simon talk, there is a dark matter. So 30% of the whole thing, let me start from visible matter. So if you sum up the mass of all stars, black holes, and intergalactic kind of hydrogen, you end up with only about 5% of all mass in the universe. The rest of the mass of the universe is the dark. We don't know what it is. We know that dark matter contributes 24% to the whole energy budget, but there is also dark energy contributing to this is not a Higgs. Well, this is the dark energy, which is contributed 70%. And we don't know what it is. So this means that we need to explore and discover this particle related to dark matter. We need also to understand the origin of the matter itself, why we're here. Because if the amount of the matter and antimatter would be identical, then there will be only photons flying around. There will be no us, no planets. But because of matter-antimatter asymmetry, there's a slight asymmetry of the order of one part per billion. We're here. And the standard model does not have a mechanism or particle responsible for this asymmetry, why there is more matter than antimatter. And this is a huge topic, and this is a very important thing. So the sector which is responsible for dark matter or dark energy, we believe that there is some particles responsible for this, and generation matter-antimatter asymmetry, can be found, such a particle in such a sector, so maybe there are many particles, many fields, can be found by the LHC. At least there is a huge potential to do this. If not, the next generation of colliders would be coming to understand this, because this is two fundamental questions which must be answered. So final remarks. I just want to say that our knowledge, what we learned from LHC and from physics for many years, is actually our power. And LHC is the powerful tool, is not the first, and it is not the last. Why? Because we're driven, well, we want to discover new things. We are curious. Well, and what is the main driving force for us is actually curiosity and fascination. That's for personal, my personal approach. And I think that, well, the science is a great force of like generating this curiosity and fascination. And if you'd like to learn more about this, well, I'm here around till Monday, and here's my email, and this talk already, on the website, so you can access these slides. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alexander. Stick around. Next up on stage B, 316 group will be... No, Pamal group, sorry. We'll be talking about that artwork, 316.
This is just a movie about the kind of... Well, one of the movies which show how the protons are collide at the Large Hadron Collider, and just it's about 40 seconds. So it's... Well, there is no sound, but it's okay. I think that's fine. It's supposed to be sound here, right? Yeah. So this is the tunnel, and this is the proton, and this is the proton consisting of three quarks. But there are 10 billion protons in the train which are colliding. This is just an example of two, but actually there are billions of them collide in one train. And this is a detector which needed to detect these particles, and the four blue beams... Oh, sorry. I wanted to stop it, and for some reason. Anyways, the four blue beams which have been showing there, and I, for some reason, I cannot really stop. Yeah, I think. Yeah, for some reason, YouTube does not allow me to stop. Anyways, these beams which are happening after the collision, these were the real events of the Higgs production. Anyways, thank you very much.